Hi, this is Daniel Garb the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's December, but not everything is about Christmas. This week I'm looking at three new movies with themes set in the arts. There's a woman who works at a cinema but never watches movies, a serial killer who finds himself part of an ancient Greek play, and a writer for TV Guide who thinks his life is like a sitcom. A Wounded Fawn, co-written and directed by Travis Stevens. It's a fine art auction in New York City, and the collectors and dealers are out fighting tonight. The prized item is a small bronze sculpture from ancient Greece showing the Furies seeking vengeance on a prone man. Kate, played by Malin Barr, gets the high bid and returns home triumphant with a piece in hand. So she's surprised to see Bruce, played by Josh Rubin, a rival bidder, show up at her door. Her boss still covets the statue. His boss still covets the statue and is willing to pay double, he says. Doubling her money in 24 hours seems like a good deal. So she invites him in for a glass of champagne, but before long, she's lying dead on the floor in a pool of blood, and the sculpture and Bruce are long gone. Later, Meredith, another beautiful young woman, played by Sarah Lind, is excited over an upcoming weekend in the country with her latest paramour. Her last boyfriend was abusive, but her new one seems nice, generous, and attractive. And he's into fine art, just like Mare. She works at a museum. They set off for a fun-filled adventure at his isolated cabin in the woods. And she's thrilled to see that the cabin is actually a finished home overlooking a dense forest and decorated with beautiful modern art. But something is strange there. She hears a woman's voice in her ear warning her to leave. And she recognizes the Greek sculpture of the Furies on his coffee table. She authenticated it for an art auction just a few weeks ago. "It's just a copy," says Bruce. What she doesn't know is that Bruce is a serial killer, and she might be his next victim. Bruce is waiting for directions from a gigantic man-owl with blood-red feathers in his head who tells him whom he should kill. Can Mare fight him off? And where do these strange voices come from? A Wounded Fawn is a low-budget, exquisitely crafted art house thriller horror. What starts as a simple slasher movie soon turns into a revenge pick about halfway through, where Meredith, Kate, and a third victim return as the ancient Greek Furies to visit punishment upon Bruce. And what's really remarkable is how it incorporates Greco-Roman aesthetics, mythology, and theater into what could have been a simple, scary horror movie to turn it into something totally different, totally original. While it's not always clear whether something happening on the screen is for real or just inside Bruce's damaged brain, it doesn't matter. Wounded Fawn is weird and fascinating either way. Spoiler alert, directed by Michael Showalter. It's the 1990s. Michael Osiello, played by Jim Parsons, is a nerdy gay guy who lives in New Jersey but works in Manhattan. He grew up obsessed by TV, living his life as if he were a character on an 80s sitcom. Now he's a writer for TV Guide, where he devotes himself to his work, and remains perpetually single. Until he meets Kit Cowan, played by Ben Aldridge, at a dance club. He's handsome, fit, and popular, and he says Michael is just his type, the tall geek. Kit's also in the media. He's a professional photographer. They hit it off, but keep certain secrets to themselves. For example, Kit lives a freewheeling sex life. He's just not one to settle down. And Michael never came out to his small town parents, played by Sally Field and Bill Irwin. He's afraid they won't accept him. He's also really afraid to show Kit his apartment. What is he hiding there? It's his Smurf collection. Smurfs, a veritable fuzzy blue tsunami that fills every nook and cranny of his home. But after settling their differences, they eventually move in together. Most of the Smurfs are packed away. Michael comes out to his parents, and they still love him. And they settle into lifelong domestic bliss. Okay, flash forward 15 years, and their relationship is on the rocks. The spark has died, and they've grown a bit distant toward each other. But everything changes when, spoiler alert, Kit discovers he has terminal cancer. How will they handle his imminent death? Will their love be rekindled? And how can they spend what might be their last year together? Spoiler Alert is a touching dramedy about love and loss based on a true story, Michael Asiello's own memoir about his life with Kit. Like the book, the movie begins with the death of Kit in Michael's arms, hence, spoiler alert, that's why it's called that. The director, Michael Showalter, previously made The Big Sick, which is also about a couple and their family facing a serious illness. So is this the gay Big Sick? Not exactly. It's a new, different story with a different style. Like, for example, his version of Michael's childhood as a sitcom, complete with a laugh track. It's sort of funny to watch. And there are lots of funny parts. The bigger question is Jim Parsons up to playing a dramatic role, or is he forever stuck in people's minds as Sheldon from The Big Bang? Well, in this case, I think he pulls it off. He fits the role and manages to make him quirkily sympathetic. So if you're into terminal illness comedies, here's a good one to try on for size. Empire of Light, written and directed by Sam Mendes. It's the winter of 1981 in a seaside city in southern England. Hillary, played by Olivia Colman, is a middle-aged woman who works at the Empire Theatre as the front-of-house manager. It's an Art Deco movie palace, but like the town, it's long past its prime. Half the screens are closed down, and the third floor ballroom has been taken over by pigeons. Hillary is lonely and depressed, on meds, recovering from a hospital stay. Her social life consists mainly of ballroom dancing with old men, and her sex life, for what it's worth, is furtive encounters with her sleazy married boss, played by Colin Firth, in his darkened office. But her life changes when a young man, Stephen, played by Michael Ward, is hired to work there. She finds him attractive, ambitious, he wants to study architecture at university, and most of all, compassionate. He nurses a wounded pigeon from the roof back to health. His mom's a nurse from the Windrush generation, but he wants more. Hillary may be his mom's age, but there's something there. After a few intimate moments, they start a clandestine relationship. But Michael's real ambition is to leave this town to escape increasingly racist street violence, he's black, and to become more than just an usher. Can the relationship last? And if they break up, can the fragile Hillary handle it? Empire of Light is a romantic time capsule of life in Thatcher's England. It's also about the joy and troubles of an intergenerational mixed-race love affair. And it's also about sexual harassment and anti-black racism in everyday life. And it's also about Hillary's mental illness, including her sudden manic episodes. And it's also about the rise of skinheads in the National Front and the concurrent anti-racist ska revival. And it's also about the collective friendship that develops among the people working at the Empire Theater. Maybe too many ands for one movie. What do you think? Like many of Sam Mendes' films, which I generally don't like, it's pandering and emotionally manipulative and has a meandering storyline that keeps you watching while it's on, but leaves you feeling vaguely unsatisfied afterwards. But the acting in this movie is really good, especially Olivia Colman and Michael Ward, who rise above the movie's flaws. Maybe even good enough to make Empire of Light worth a watch despite all its problems. Empire of Light and, spoiler alert, both open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. And A Wounded Fawn is now streaming on Shudder. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.